Oh, so at the meet and greet, do you think there was a running theme from the people that you were talking to from Creston that maybe they had concerns that they voiced to you that were, floated to the top?
Yeah, I think the consistent theme was kind of around the idea of fairness, affordability. There was a consistent theme around we need to do more to help out seniors, people living in poverty, housing. So there was a consistent theme around those kind of social justice issues.
Okay. And what sort of responses do you have for that? I mean, I know that when it comes to a lot of funding, it seems like cities get a lot of the funding to help out social programs and the elderly and grants seem to go to the cities more often, whereas smaller communities like Creston or even other small communities in the Kootenai Columbia region kind of don't get as much attention. And there's a bit of a sentiment that tax dollars that are being taken from people in these more rural areas are going to the people in the cities. How would you address that?
Well, I think that was a theme that came up. There was a feeling that folks in rural communities don't get the same services. There's also kind of a concern around, in some provinces we might be doing things better, but there isn't like a standard of care across the country. So some of the solutions that we offer will address that. We're looking at a couple of things for affordability. One is on the housing front. I really believe a part of the reason why we're in such a bad situation is because the federal government got out of the business of building and investing in housing for the past couple of decades, maybe even 3 decades since the 90s. So what I would advocate we do immediately is at the federal level, immediately fund building cooperative housing and nonprofit housing right away. We can do that across the country in communities that are in need everywhere.
And where would this funding come from? I mean, I know budgets are only so large, and I think a lot of people in Canada, the growing sentiment against the NDP is usually they're going to bankrupt the country. And I don't really understand that sentiment. However, people do need to be have their concerns addressed. Where would this funding come from to create a, it seems like a mega project, if you ask me, to build all of these affordable housing units all across the country?
Well, we can't afford not to do something about it because the cost of homelessness, the cost of communities not being able to house people is something that we can't afford. We know that in communities across Canada, particularly in rural communities, the jobs are available sometimes. There's employers that want to hire new employees, but they can't actually bring in new workforce because there's no place for them to live. So we know that we're missing out on the economic advantage where companies want to grow and expand, but they just simply can't bring in new talent because there's nowhere for them to live.
Yeah.
We know that there's a massive cost to homelessness. There's a massive cost to our society when young people, young professionals can't find a place to live. We know that when young families can't find a place to call home, that there's a massive cost. And we know that the government has priorities. I mean, we can prioritize making housing something that's our priority as opposed to spending billions of dollars on a pipeline. There's money that's available, but we have to make it, we have to use it appropriately and with the right priorities in mind. The government has proposed a national housing plan, but they're not releasing the funding until after the next election. We're calling on the government to release that funding immediately and start building those units now.
Sounds good. In terms of the party as a whole, the NDP, you see British Columbia and Alberta not really getting along. Is there a sense of unity between all the members in the NDP from British Columbia to, Newfoundland? Is the party not fragmented as it seems to be at the provincial level?
There's far more that we have in common as a party, and that's absolutely the case. If you look at the vast majority of issues, talk about housing or workers' rights or seniors or poverty, the environment, and on all major fronts, New Democrats agree that we need to do more to address income inequality. We need to make sure that there's good services available, that we need to invest in those, and we need to deal with the housing crisis and make sure that there's housing available. So on the vast majority of major issues, we agree. There might be specific regional differences, and we can talk about the one difference that there is between Alberta and BC, but again, they share far more in common than that one issue.
Okay. There's the referendum going around in BC for proportional representation. I think I saw it on an Instagram post of all things that you fully endorse it. Do you agree with John Horgan's statement that if you were woke, that you would know that pro rep is lit?
Yes, I agree. Well, at the end of the day, my perspective is that, you know, a lot of young people that I work with, I have a lot of young people engaged in my campaign and on my team. And when speaking to folks, not just young people, but a lot of Canadians feel apathetic about voting. They feel like their vote doesn't really matter. It doesn't count for anything. And a lot of that apathy results in low voter turnout. And I think our system is partially to blame. With the first-past-the-post system, You've got results where, you know, only 40% of Canadians, less than 40%, in fact, 39%, voted for a particular party, in this case, the Liberals, and they received 100% of the power. They have a majority. That means, you know, 6 out of 10 people voted another way, and their voice is not really reflected in the actual makeup of Parliament in terms of the decisions that are made. As opposition, we continue to raise issues and raise concerns, but we're not actually reflected in a meaningful way in terms of the decision-making. And that decision-making is why people feel let down. And I think that proportional representation would return power to people, would make sure that their vote counts, and would make people feel like they matter. And that's, to me, incredibly important.
Between RUP, MMP, and DMP, which option do you think is the best?
I've always been an advocate of mixed member proportional. It's something that I think is a simple system. It ensures that there's local representation, and it also ensures that if a party gets 30% of the vote, they get 30% of the power, or 30% of the seats, to be more direct. And that just makes sense. That just will ensure that voices of the people that are voting are reflected directly in the decision-making, directly in Parliament.
Okay, I'm going to switch gears here because I would love to just talk to you on the phone all night, but it's getting pretty late. In terms of the opioid crisis, do you think that the legalization of cannabis will actually give people another alternative for pain relief and stem the opioid crisis a little bit in that regards?
I think legalization was the right thing, and it's an important step. I think it does a number of things. One, yes, it opens up a path to folks who might use cannabis as pain relief, but it also ensures that we're not continuing to criminalize folks for something that's not really hurting society and really is a disproportional impact on some people. Young people, often marginalized communities, get criminalized or arrested for this offense. And I think it's absolutely the right way to go. On top of that, though, what I believe we really need to do is, if we want to stem the opioid crisis, is first acknowledge this is a national crisis. 4,000 Canadians died. That means 10 people a day, approximately. This is a real crisis. And we need to immediately declare it a public health emergency, a national public health emergency. This would open up funding to help pop-up clinics and those frontline care providers who want to do something about the crisis. Secondly, and this is a big thing, I think this would shift the direction that we've been headed for too long. We need to immediately end the ongoing arrest, prosecution, and incarceration of people who are using substances for personal use. If someone's using it for personal use, they're either faced with addictions, poverty, or mental health, or all the above. Putting someone like that in jail or arresting them is not going to cure them of the illness. It's not going to cure them of the addiction. It's not going to deal with their poverty or their mental health. And in fact, it probably would make it worse. If we want to save people's lives, then we've got to look to harm reduction. We've got to look to rehabilitation and support services.
Yeah, that is like the only way. The Portugal system seems to be.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly. And we've got evidence. And the Portugal model is evidence that this works. We don't need to just have hypotheticals. We know that when we put resources towards helping people, reducing harm, rehabilitating, detox, support services, it actually saves lives, reduce the use of these harmful substances. And that's really the goal at the end of the day. And if we're not achieving our goal with our current approach, we've got to stop and do something differently. And that's why I've been promoting this new approach, a healthcare response as opposed to a criminal justice response.
Okay, well, let's end this interview with a couple of really, really difficult, hard-hitting questions.
Let's do it.
Sasquatch, Kootenai legend and totally real, or a figment of our imaginations?
Oh, it's real. It's a real deal.
Okay, excellent. Which Canadian hockey team do you think has the best chance for the Cup?
Ooh, you know, this is one of those things that's like a super controversial question for a national leader, because I've got to support all the Canadian teams. I think people won't begrudge me if I say I got a soft spot for the city I was born in, Toronto. So I'm hoping for the Leafs.
Yeah, okay. I hear you're from Scarborough.
That's right.
Yeah, local legends like Wayne's World comes out of there. And,
it's true.
Yeah.
Scarborough's done well.
Fantastic.
The sixth dad, Norm, he came out of Scarborough too.
Wow. Wow. Okay. And the final question, which decade was the best for music?
Oh, it's 80s. 80s music. I'm a big fan of 80s music.
80s music. Well, you would love our station then.
You play a lot of 80s?
Oh, we play almost too much 80s, some might say.
That's amazing. I love 80s. Or 80s or 90s R&B. But
fantastic. Well, thank you very much for calling in. All of this is extremely helpful for those listening, and I really appreciate the time you spent here. Even though it wasn't in our station, you engaged our community at the Motor Inn. Have a great night.
Okay, you too. Take care.